The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Chav Zayin. Today's daf is being studied by Rishmat Avram ben Esther. Today's daf is being studied for Ash Shilema, Yosef ben Sarah, Rahamim ben Adel, and Sarah bat Rahel. Inna Rafanahim, Inna Rafanahim, Fatanefesh, Fatanuf, Fatanke, Rahel, Rasum, and Omar. Amen. Again, today's daf on Chav Zayin, Amud Rishon, and we are on the second line. The Gemara is now going to analyze a statement that we said in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if a lady was taken into captivity for the sake of Mammon, so then you assume that what? The Goyim did not violate her because they do not want to violate her because they think they're not going to get paid if they do that. So therefore, you could assume that what? She's okay. But if it was for the sake of Nefeshot, if it was for capital punishment, if it was for killing her, let's say, which we'll see in the Gemara what that case is, then already you assume that what? They violate her because they treat her like a Hefker. And we learn from Shitat Rashi that the assumption is in that case over there that she did it even willingly, and therefore she'd be forbidden even if her husband is a Yisrael. Good. So now the Gemara is going, and we saw a Shitat Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzhak. Rabbi Shmuel Yitzhak said that this whole deal in the Mishnah by Mamonot is only Kishiyad Yisrael Takifa, where the Jews are in control. Therefore, the Goyim can't do anything because they know that the government of the Jews are going to hold them accountable. They're not going to get their money. However, if Yad Goyim Tekifa, then already even on Mamonot, you have to assume they're going to violate the lady, she's going to be forbidden to the husband. So Gemara says now another version of a Gemara. Ge'ika de Amri, some have this version. Amar Rabba Af Anana Mitarina. We also have a Mishnah to support this Shita. We have a testimony of Rabbi Yosef Kohen and Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav al Bat Yisrael Shurhena Ashkelon. That's a Bat Yisrael that she mortgaged herself in Ashkelon. When he mortgaged herself, she owed people money, Goyim, and she didn't make the payment date, so therefore she like sold herself willingly to the Goyim, and that was the way they're going to get payment. So it says, what happened? V'rihakua b'nimishpachta. Now witnesses obviously came along and told the family what happened. Once they heard that, they said, okay, she was by the Goyim. They distanced themselves, meaning they did not allow anymore now to, obviously she was freed after. But they assumed that she was violated, and they didn't let her marry into, let's say, the Ikehuna. So ve'edea me'edim aleha shelo nistera v'shelo nitme'a. But the witnesses are coming along, those same witnesses, and saying what? Nothing happened. She wasn't secluded, she didn't become tameh. Ve'amru hachamim. So the rabbis came along to the family and said like this. Im atem ma'aminim shurhena. If you're believing already the witnesses that say, hurhena, that she was taken into captivity, you know, that she mortgaged herself. Ha'aminu shelo nistera v'shelo nitme'a. So you gotta believe them fully. Believe what they said secondly, that she was not violated. If you're not believing them that she was not violated, so don't believe them what they said. So the Gemara asks, but the story in Ashkelon was what? A monetary situation. And what? And the only reason why you believed is because Eidim are testifying that nothing happened. But what? If there were no witnesses, no, you wouldn't believe. You'd assume that what? That she was violated. And the Gemara is assuming at this point, there's no difference between Hurhina and Nihmesha. And we see that's a monetary case. And even in a monetary case, you have to assume what? There was violation over here. And the only reason why this case, we don't believe there's violation because you had two witnesses. Aye, but we learned in our Mishnah that on a monetary case, you assume that what? Often not even without witnesses, that nothing happened. But here was Masha only because there was witnesses. So that's the way the Gemara is establishing a contradiction. So my love, lo shina urena, lo shina nechmesha. Now we're assuming there's no difference between hurhena and nechmesha. Gemara says lo, hurhena shani. Hurhena is different for the simple logic. Because there, she herself gave herself over. So when she herself gives herself over, the debt is due. The Goyim say, listen, you're our property now. Hey, you owe us the money, you didn't pay. She herself gave herself over, so they mafkira. So therefore they went with her. They'll go with her. But in the case of where they just took her, against her will, so therefore she's going to do anything to protect herself that she shouldn't be violated. So therefore, that case over there, it's a monetary case as well. Therefore, when it comes to monetary, you assume the women are not going to violate it because they want to get paid. So therefore, there is a difference between Hudhina and Nihmesha. Comes Gemara and says, hey, another version. Ika dirami la mirma. Some brought our Mishnah and that Mishnah over there with the case of Hudhina, and they pitted the two Mishnahs against each other and made a contradiction, which means we had the Gemara earlier that said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, he made a hiluk between Yad Goyim Tekifa or Yad Yisrael Tekifa. He said that on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said when it comes to Mamonot, you don't assume violation. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak came along and said you don't assume violation only when we're in charge. But when the Goyim are in charge, you assume violation. Some come to that same conclusion, but a different way. Not based on the Mishnah Bar Yitzchak statement, but by bringing a Stiran Mishnayot, and the way they're going to answer the Mishnayot is by saying, Kan Yad Yisrael Takifa, Kan Kishen Yad Yisrael Takifa. The Gemara explains, Tenan, we learned in our Mishnah, Al Yedei Mamon Muter Le'Ba'la, that if it's a monetary territory situation, why she's permissible to the husband, because again, the Goyim are not going to violate her for money. Urminu, so they ask the contradiction. Here, Rabbi Yosef, that's the whole story. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKasab, about a lady that was Hudhina. And what happened? It was a monetary situation. And what happened? The only reason why you believe that no violation took place is because there was two witnesses. You see what? In monetary cases, Yah Hoshesh, Astida from the Mishnah to the Mishnah. Right? The case of Ashkelon was a monetary case. Right? But only the reason why you believe nothing happened because there was witnesses. So how are you going to answer the contradiction? Can't she have said the kifal of the kukavim? Can't she have the kukavim? The kifal atzman. So make a hiduk. The hiduk is an our Mishnah. The reason why you don't assume anything happened because Yad Yisrael takif. The case over there, the case of Hudhina. The reason why you believe something happened unless you have witnesses because that case was Yad Goyim takifa. Now this way, this version is very significant because this version is not making a hiduk between Hudhina and Nihmesha. They're assuming that it's the same dynamics in both cases. It's just that what? If it's Yad Yisrael Tekifa, even in the case of Hudhina, it's monetary. Nothing happened. You don't need any witnesses. The only reason why you needed witnesses in the Hudhina case was because it was Yad Goyim Tekifa. That's why you had to assume that something happened. But intrinsically, there's no difference between Hudhina and Nihmesha. The main Shahiluk is what? Yad Yisrael Tekif or Yad Goyim Tekif. Comes the Gemara and continues. So what do we say in our Mishnah? We said that if, let's say, the Goyim took somebody into captivity, specifically a lady, because of, let's say, a nifashot, because of a crime that's punishable by death, then already you assume that what? She's hefker. And therefore, they violate her, and therefore, even according to the Shi, you have to say she did it willingly. Because eventually she'll do it willingly to the captives, and therefore she submitted even to her husband, who was a Yosef. So the Gemara was asking, what's the case of nifashot? So Amar Rav Kegon, like the case of Hani Neshe Ganave, the wives of thieves, which means you have guys that are Ganavim. So according to the Goyim, what? The Hayav Mita. So once the Hayav Mita, what do the Goyim do? Their whole family becomes now like Hefker, which means they plunder their family, they do anything they want to their family, because the guy's already on death row. So therefore, the wives of thieves, you have to assume now that what? The Goyim are going to violate. That's in Yen Nefashot. Not that she's Hayav Mita. The husband is Hayav because he stole. Therefore, once already the guy's sentenced, we'll see exactly at which stage. But the point is, now already the wives are violated. Comes together and says, Amar, Velevi Amar, Kegon Ishto Shel Ben Donai. He says, no, Ben Donai was a thief. Not a thief. Ben Donai was a Rotzeiach, was a murderer. And therefore, according to Levi, the wives of thieves, it's not where the Goyim are going to violate. But when it comes to murder, like Ben Donai was a murderer, so his wife already, now they treat like Hefker, and then you have to assume that what? She's going to be violated. So we have a machloket. To what level? Is it the wives of thieves or the wives of murderers? What's considered the case of Nefashot? Gemara says, Amar Hashkiya v'hu shenigmar dinan nahariga. Oh, so Hashkiya is very important halakha. This is only talking where the Goyim already were posek, they gave a final judgment that the husband is guilty. Which means, according to Hizkiyah, until they finally bang the gavel and say, guilty, they're not going to violate the wife.
The Rabbi Yohanan Amar, even before the sentencing, which is once already, they already hold them guilty, even before they give the final judgment, already you have to concern them that they're going to violate, and therefore the wives are going to be asurat to the husbands. Karkom. You have a city that the Karkom captured. What's Karkom? Hayalim, soldiers, they put a siege around the city. Now again, the assumption is that when soldiers plunder a city, so they're going to violate all the women that are in the city. So the Mishnah says, "Kol kohanot shenimsiu betocha pisulot." Any lady that's married to a kohen, automatically you have to assume that she's pisula. Why? Because she was raped. Now the deen is that a lady that is raped is married to a kohen, even anusa is forbidden to the husband, which is a lady that's married to a Yisrael, if she's ne'enza, so she's not forbidden to the husband. But a wife of a queen, even ne'enza, is asura. Therefore, we have to assume that the soldiers, when they were sieging the city, they went and they violated the ladies. The im yeshlem edim. But if, let's say, there's witnesses, afilu evid, afilu shifha, even witnesses are normally pasul, meaning an evid, a slave, or a shifha, hare elu ne'emanim. They give them a ne'emanut. See, the rabbis, the reason why they trusted these inferior witnesses, because the whole thing is a humrah. We don't know what happened over here. The whole thing is a hashash, and we're being mahmil like a bekiuna. So therefore, since the whole thing is a humrah, we'll also be lenient to rely on what? The quasi witnesses. But a person himself does not have an ne'eman, which means a person cannot come along himself and say, nothing happened. Therefore, you need the witnesses. Question, urminu. Baleshet Sheba'ala Ir. What is a baleshet? Baleshet is, again, soldiers, as she says, Hail, Ohel, Al Shem Shemahapsim Kola Matmunim. They're looking for all the hidden treasures. The Pasuk says by Yosef and the brothers, by Chapes, when the brothers they had the Gavia in one of the Shevatim's in Binyamin's the sack. So they were searching, by Chapes. The Targum explains the word, by Chapes, Ubalash. Which is over here, that to search. So these soldiers, they come in and they're digging up all the places of it to see any matmonim, any treasures. That's what's called baleshet. And then when they come to the city, b'sha'at shalom, they're not coming in a war. They're coming in peacetime. So it says, habiyot petuchot asurot. So any barrel of wine, Jewish wine, that's open becomes asura. Why? Because you assume they're going to have time. They're going to come and drink from it. That's already considered yayin nesek, and therefore the wine becomes forbidden. Situmot mutarot. But if it's sealed, right, sealed, so you know they didn't open it. So therefore the wine is going to remain permissible. Bishat milhama. But in a time of war, elu ve'elu mutarot. At a time of war, even the barrels of wine that are open are going to be permissible. Why? Lefi she'en penai linasech. Because there is no time in the time of war for them to go now start drinking the wine. So the question is, you're telling me in our Mishnah that when you have a army that's surrounding a city, right? So you tell me all the Kohanot are forbidden. What do you mean? I thought there's no time. Just like there's no time for them to drink wine. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Mori, Lib'ol Yesh Penai. Lenasech in Penai. He says, to make the bi'ah, to have time for that. Right? Because the Goyim are Pirutzot. However, it comes to drinking the wine, they don't have time for that. So even in a wartime, they'll see to it that they have time for the bi'ah. Rabbi Yitzchak bar El Azar Mishime Dihaskiya Amar. Kan be karkom shilotam malchut, kan be karkom shil malchut acheret. So the Gemara gives a different hiduk over here. Again, the question is, we saw a baleshet when they come into a town, we assume that they don't have time for these things, just like they don't have time to be minasech the yayin. But in Amishtah was masma, they have time. So the Gemara gives a different answer. You have a karkom shil otam malchut or karkom shil malchut acheret. Karkom shil otam malchut is, let's say you have a certain government, and they want to annex a certain place next to their domain. They want to annex it to their territory. So they go in, and they surround them, and they annex it. In that case, you're not chashish, they're going to violate the woman. Because they want to keep it in existence so they can charge taxes. So they're going to be nice, so to speak. They're not going to rape anybody because they want to keep it to their tax money. But when, let's say, you have a foreign government, karkom shel malchut acheret, that comes in, they don't care about anything. They're coming for the quick plunder. And then they're going to come in now, they're going to violate the whole city. So in that case, you said that what? That they're going to go and make the whole situation of the corner. So our Mishnah that says the Kohanot of Pesulot was talking about a Karkom Shil Malchut Acheret. However, if it's Otam Malchut, You're not worried that they're going to make a bi'ah. That's the way Rashi understands. Let's read that Rashi inside. Karkom shel otam malchut. Eno rotze lashchit et bena'i. They don't want to destroy the city. Ushikovesh ira samut lememshalto. When they annex or they attack a domain next to their memshala, shomra. They protect it. Vihi lo lemasovet. And it becomes another tax revenue for them. Comes Gibran, asks, shel malchuta, shel otam malchut name, even if it's the same malchut, ifshar, it's impossible. The law. The law arak hadminayu. The way that she understands the questions, even in the same malchut. So you tell me the soldiers are not going to do anything. It's not possible. One soldier's not going to run and go do something to one of the ladies. So if you have to be hoshesh that what? That there were some stray soldiers over here that didn't follow the laws, and they went in and they violated the ladies. The Gilyon, he changes it, and he said that Sefarim Ma'alim said the law Akar. Okay, Akami didn't uproot themselves from the army and go to make a violation. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kishim Mishmarot Ro'ot Zu Itzu. You're talking about we have sentries. We have watchmen. What does it mean, watchmen? Nashi. Mishmarot, Makom Ma'amad Ashomrim. You have a place where the Shomrim are standing, the guards. She'amid HaMelech Shelo Yehabal Adam Ben Sha'ir. Which means there's guards. That nobody should get damaged in the city. So therefore, we're not worried about anybody sneaking away and going doing anything because there's a lot of security to make sure that the soldiers themselves are behaving. So they don't damage anybody. So the Gemara says, it's impossible that the guards are not going to fall asleep. Which means, how long can they watch? 24 hours, they're going to fall asleep. Once they fall asleep, then people are going to go in and they're going to violate the ladies. Amar Abi Levi, kegodim hadad lal dimata. They put in the city, in like a gate in front of the city, shushilta, that's iron chains. So therefore, if anybody goes into the city, you'll hear the chains shaking, so the sentries will wake up and they'll be able to catch them. Vechalva, there's a watchdog there as well, the dog will bark. Vechavza, gavza is like a goose that also will make noise. Or vechavza, I'm sorry, gavza is a... Right, gavza spikes. They put spikes, wood spikes over there. Therefore, they won't ever be able to go through. The avza. Avza is the goose. Okay, it's the geese that make noise. Right, as she says, gavzak maklot. Those are sticks, v'kismin l'hikashil bahen. So therefore, bottom line, there's a security system set up that nobody's going to get in there. If they get in there, they'll hear the chain shaking, the dogs will bark, the geese will make noise, and they'll get stumbled by the spikes. Okay, so that's the way that she understands the sugya. We did have a question over here. The Rishonim asked a question over here that's not Mr. Bear to sit all the ladies in the city, because maybe one guy snuck in and violated the ladies over here. That's such a far-fetched thing, and therefore other Rishonim want to say, learn the whole sugya differently. Let's learn that shita. Now, this is the shita of Rabbeinu Hananel and Rabbeinu Tam. Let's see how they learned the sugya. They say like this. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar came to answer the stira from our Mishnah to the stira Masechet Avodah Zarah. Let's review. Our Mishnah said what? That in the case of it, we have an army that's surrounding the city. You have to assume what? They went around, they violated all the ladies. Any lady that's married to a Kohen becomes forbidden. Yeah? Oh, we saw in Avodah Zarah when the soldiers come in, that what? You don't assume that they violated the wine because they don't have any time. So the assumption is just like you have no time for the wine, there's no time for viyah. So make up your mind. So the Gemara said that what? That our Mishnah is talking about karkom shel otam malchut. That when you talk about the government of its own, where you're just trying to annex a place. So when you're coming to annex a place, we assume that what? It's not going to, according to this interpretation, according to the way we're learning now, karkom shel otam malchut, which is the own government situation. And therefore, right, which means they're not worried that anybody else is going to fight them, which means they themselves are annexing a territory for themselves, therefore they have time. It's a new answer. They have the opposite. They have time to make nisuchayayin, because they themselves are doing it. They're not fighting anybody. There's no resistance. They're just going along and annexing another town next to them, or a village or whatever, territory next to them. Therefore, they have time to menasech the yayin. They have time to make a bi'ah. Therefore, you can also add all the wines that are opened, even in the times of war. Because bottom line, they have time. However, the Mishnah Avodah Zarah is talking about Malkut Aheret, which means after they conquer the city, they're still scared. Because they're still scared there's going to be resistance from somewhere else. So therefore, they don't have time to be menasech the yayin. They don't have time also to make bi'ah with the ladies over there. Because that's the first difference between the way these rabbis are answering. Now, so therefore, you're going to matir when it's malchut acheret. They just want to take their stuff and they want to run. They don't want to stay around because they know there's going to be resistance by the other government, the other armies. So therefore, in that case over there, we're not worried about the situation of the ladies. To that, the Gemara says, even in the karkom shel otam malchut, which is even in the situation we have the government itself, where the Mishnah said they have a problem that the ladies are going to be violated, how could you say that all the ladies were violated? Maybe some of the ladies escaped. Different interpretation. We're not going on, maybe some of the goyim went in. I can go around one girl. Maybe the ladies themselves escaped out. So to that, the Gemara says, right, that's why, according to that, the Gemara is going to say, the law arka had minayu. Arka is feminine. Our language is arak. But some of the Gemara says, the law arka had minayu, which is a feminine interpret. Therefore, one of the ladies must have escaped. And therefore, you should always mati the ladies. Maybe she escaped. To that, the Gemara says, no. We're talking about they can't escape. You have change, you have dogs, you have goose, and therefore they can't escape because you're already here. They set up a security system that the ladies can escape. So you have two totally different interpretations between the Rishonim, how to understand the sugya. Comes Gemara and continues. Second wide line, Amar bi Abba bar Zavda, Pirigi bar bi Yudan Nisi'a v'Rabbanan, Had Amar kan bekarkom shel otam malchut, which means one rabbi had the question that we had from the second Kitubot to the second Avodah Zarah. They answered like we answered. The Shitat Rashi. Now what our Mishnah is talking about, Kam Bekarkom Shel Otam Malchut. Otam Malchut, we're not worried about, I'm sorry, our Mishnah is talking about Karkom Shel Malchut Acheret. That what? They're coming in and they're going to violate everybody. Because they're just coming in for the quick plunder. Therefore, they'll plunder the city. They don't care about anything. And therefore, they'll violate all the ladies. And the case of Avodah Zarah, where you say they're not violated, it's talking about Karkom Shel Otam Malchut, because they want taxes. Good. And according to this answer, they did not have any questions. I mean, they didn't have the question that the Gemara asked. What about maybe one of the soldiers stuck away and violated somebody, and then we have to give the answer that there was the sentries, and then the Gemara had a question, maybe they were sleeping. According to this answer, this rabbi just answered, Karkom Shel Otam Malchut, Karkom Shel Malchut, and he did not have that question, maybe somebody snuck away, that they had to go and start giving the whole answer with the dogs and the chains and all that. V'had kashchile kolhani, and one rabbi had all these questions. Maybe a soldier stuck away, therefore he violated a lady. To give an answer, sentries. Maybe the sentries were sleeping. Because you put the chains. And therefore, umeshani kegon de madar le mata, you put on the city, shushilta, you put the iron chain, kalbar, dog, gavza, the spikes, ve'avza, and the geese. Amar of idi bar avin, amar of yitzhak bar ashian. Im yesh sham mahbu'a achat, matzelet a la kohanot kulan. Gemara says, if let's say you have one tunnel, an underground tunnel where a lady can escape through, so that tunnel is going to save all the kohanim, because you could assume what? That they were in the tunnel and they saved themselves. Now there is a machloket here amongst the Rishonim, again over here amongst the Poskim actually, if the lady has to claim that she was in the tunnel. Some Rishonim, Poskim say, yeah, when does the tunnel work? What's she saying? I was in the tunnel. But if she doesn't claim that she was in the tunnel, then it's not going to be a claim. Or do we say, no, we're tole that every lady was in the tunnel, and therefore you can assume that she was okay. Correct. That's one sheet. That's something she shouldn't have to say. It's just automatically assume that she was in the tunnel. So comes the Gemara and says, Ba'ir bir miya. So the miya is a question. Eina mahzeket ela ahat mahu.
Let's say the tunnel can only hold one lady. It's a small tunnel.
Well, mi amrinan kol hada vehada haynuha.
Do you say, well, no one's saying anything, right? But each lady, I'll say, that was the lady that was in the tunnel. And then I can be Mikael and say all of them are okay.
Or dilma lo amrinan,
or maybe I say, we don't say this, which means could be, since this whole chumrah is a hashash rabbanan. So no, when it comes to the rabbanan, it can be Mikael. You're right, only one room for one lady. I'll say, you know what, that was the lady that was in the tunnel. The next lady comes and say, that was the lady that was in the tunnel. Which means I could always be Mikael and say that that lady saved herself. Or maybe I say what? No. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Umay shena, why is this any different than a case that we know already? We have an established case. What's the case? Mishneh shevirim. There's two roads. Ehad tameh vehad tahor. What does it mean, ehad tameh vehad tahor? You have a road, there was a guy buried across, meaning the width-wise. So therefore it's guaranteed anybody that goes down that road is ma'ahil over the mit that's buried on that road. Okay? Now you don't know which road has the tum'ah and which road has the tara. So ve'alach ve'ahad. The guy walked down one of those roads. Ve'asat tahor. Then after he went and he dealt with things that are tahor. Let's say he went and he dealt with tirumah or something like that. Uba chaviro ve'alach v'sheni. His friend came along and walked on the other road. So for sure, one of them walked on the road that was tameh, ve'asat tahor, and he also did taharot. So we want to know the status of the taharot. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda omer, im nish'al zeh b'fnei atzmo v'zeh b'fnei atzmo. If let's say each one came to us separately, one guy came along and said, Rabbi, I walked down the road A, then I touched taharot. We tell him, okay, we can assume that you walked down the tahor road, because we have a rule. Sefek tum'ab reshut rabim. Sefeko tahor. That we have a sefek of tum'ah in the reshut rabim. The way we posek the she'elah is lakin. Therefore, he's coming and saying, Rabbi, I was in the reshut rabim. I walked down one road. I don't know if I walked on the tamer or the tahor road. We say, you know what? Sefek tum'ah reshut rabim tahor. You touched tahorot, no problem. And then what? The next guy comes up and says, Rabbi, I walked down on the other road. The same sefek. Sefek tum'ah reshut rabim. Sefeko tahor. Therefore, the tahorot are okay. However, but both come together to the rabbis, then already timeot. Because already, how could the rabbis tell both of them simultaneously, would you touch the stone or when you touch the stone? It looks like the Beit is lying over here. Because for sure, somebody over here had to walk down on the road that was tameh. They're both standing in front of us. That's the first shita. Rabbi Yosef omer, benkach u benkach timein. Rabbi Yosef mahmir. Even if they came separately, you have to say that what? They're going to become tameh. Benkach u benkach. What's the logic of Rabbi Yosef, why he says tameim? Oh, so the Gemara is going to explain. The Gemara is going to explain. The Amar Rava says, what's the machloket over here? Me'etim Rabbi Yohanan. Bevatachat v'rakot tameim. Everybody says this. If they come together, v'adai tameim, because it looks like shekin over here. Bezeacharzeh, when they come separately, everybody says teorin, even Rabbi Yosef. Lo nechliku ela. What's the mahloket? Beva lishael alav al chavero. Where the guy's coming along to ask for himself and his friend. Rabbi, I walked down road A and I touched the road, and my friend walked down road B and touched the road. So the other guy didn't show up in front of Betty. So more medamel lebevatahat. So Rabbi Yosef says that's considered as if they both came together. Because what's the difference if he's there or he's talking for himself and his friend? And the other rabbi says, no, that's like Zeharze, because normally you have one guy in the Betin over here, and therefore we're just answering his question, and his sister's friend's not there. It's like, it's one after the other, and therefore it's okay. Oh, so therefore both tahor. So now the Gemara says, so here also, according to this answer, what do you want to tell me? You have one mahbo, you have one tunnel. It can fit one lady. So if you're going to come along and say, what? All the ladies over here are going to be tahor. Nobody came in front of us over here. But by the way, you're being matir all the ladies at the same time. Kevat achat dameh. It's like what? Batachat. And according to the Biyosef, what do we say? In the case where, let's say, they didn't come in front of Betin. But when you're being matir two people at the same time, it's impossible. But you say tameot. Same thing over here. You're matiring all these ladies at the same time. How can all of them be in the mahbo? Only one can be. And therefore, it should be similar to that case. Then we should say what? All of them are tameot. All of them, we consider them violated. So what's the difference between the cases? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Hachi ashta? What are you, you're comparing the case of the tum'ah to the case of the ladies? What's the difference? Hadam vadai ika tum'ah. There vadai, we know, on one of the roads there was tum'ah. So for sure, both of them cannot be tahor. Which means, when both of them, or when one guy comes up and says, me, my friend, if you hold that what, and it's considered batachat,
for sure one of them is tameh. Therefore, you have to say what? Go to the Biyoseh, tameh. Haga miyemar de itmeh. Which means, if she was in the mahbo, she's good. And even if she wasn't in the mahbo, sure, still she might be good. Who said that she came tameh outside of what? It's for sure that she got violated outside. So therefore, you could say simultaneous in this case. Because by the way, even if she wasn't in the mahbo, I'm being matir everybody. If you're in the mahbo, you're good. If you're out of the mahbo, could be a good also. So maybe in this case over there, there's more room to be mekel. It's not considered that but the hot case of the shnei shivilin. Comes again what says, ba'ed of asher. Amra, let's say the lady herself said, lo nihbeti velo nitmeti. There was a mahbo in the town, right? She didn't have to say anything technically, because according to what we learned above, if there's a mahbo in the town, automatically you assume that's mahlokin, if she has to say anything or not. But let's say she comes along now and says, listen, I'm telling you, I was not in the mahbo. Vat lo nitmeti. So now the Gemara says, Mao, mi amrinan mali leshaker. Do you use a sevara that's called, what is she gained to lie? Which means she didn't have to say anything over here. She could have kept quiet. She's coming along now, it's like a pesha, I said a pesha yatir. She's coming along and saying what? Listen, I wasn't in the mahbo, but I'm telling you, I wasn't mitameh. Or do you say, oh dilma, lo amrinan. Or maybe you don't say that. Which means, who knows? Maybe really she was violated. And the reason why she said she wasn't in the mahbo, she had a reason to say she wasn't in the mahbo. Maybe you don't accept it by saying, oh, she wasn't in the mahbo. Maybe she was really tameh, but there was a reason why she said, I wasn't in the mahbo. So that's the question of the Gemara. Is she ne'emenet or not? So comes the Gemara and says, oh dilma, lo amrinan. Gemara says, ma'ase. Why is it different, this question you ask over here, from the following ma'aseh? A guy rented a hamor to his friend, a donkey to his friend. So he told his friend that he's renting it to lo tizil be'urha de'nehar pekod. I'm telling you, listen, there's conditions to this lease. I don't want you to take the hamor to the river of Pekod, ti'ika maya. There's a lot of water over there. It's going to be dangerous for the hamor. I don't want you to take it over there. Zil b'urcha din rash. You want to walk it, go to the area of Nirash and walk the donkey over there. Deleka maya, because there's no water. Ve'azal ihu b'urcha din har Pekod. And what did he do? He went and he took the donkey on the har Pekod, umit hamra. And sure enough, the donkey died. Atalika med rabah. So now the one that rented the donkey, the lessor, came in front of Rava. The lessee, the one that, the socher, that took the, rented the donkey, he came in front of Rava and said, yes, in. Be'urcha de Nehar Pekod Azleh. I definitely went on the river of Nehar Pekod. However, miyu lo avu maya. There was no water over there at the time. So he died from different causes. Amar Rava mali leshaker. So Rava said, listen, you got to believe him. Why would he lie? He could have just said, I walked on Nehar Nirash. From the fact that he came along and said, yes, I did walk on Nehar Piko, but there was no water. Therefore, it should be Ne'eman. Amar de Abaye says, what are you talking? Mali leshaker bimkom edim lo amrinan. Which means when there's an assumption, even without, let's say, formal witnesses, but when it's known fact that something is true, I don't say the Sivan of Mali Neshakir. Everybody knows, like the sun rises, everybody knows that by Nehat Pekod, there's water. And therefore, when a guy comes along and says, listen, I took him by Nehat Pekod, but there's no water. What are you talking about? It's like an Anan Sahadeh. Everybody knows that, what? There's water. I don't say, well, he could have said. He could have said. The guy's a liar. And therefore, we don't say. So therefore, similarly, the Gemara wants to use Abaye Savara over here. This lady comes along and says, listen, I was not in the mahbo, but I was not mitameh. Hey, listen, if you're saying you're not in the cave, in the mahbo, it's as if you're saying what? You were vadai nitmet. Because outside there was the soldiers over there. The soldiers are going to violate everybody. So we don't say a sevara mali leshaker in the case where there's like an anan sadeh. The assumption is that what? She got violated. So therefore, why should she be ne'emenet? So the Gemara says, wait, hechachi ashta? You compare the case of the chabot, the case of the lady? Hatam vadai ika edim di ika maya. Again, in the case of the river, for sure, you know for a fact that there's water in that place. It's not a sefik. However, hacha vadai itme? But here, are you sure that she became tameh just because she's saying she wasn't in the cave? in the furrow. For sure, you gave them it. Hashashu. Umkom hashasha amrinan. And maybe in a case where it's only a hashash, I'll say this to Rav Mali Leshakir. Which in this case over here, even on the sudden, she says she wasn't in the cave. It's not bad that she was mitameh. Therefore, I believe her to say what? I wasn't in the cave, but I was not mitameh. So therefore, in this case, you will say Mali Leshakir. But in the case of the Hamor, when the guy comes up and says, listen, I was on Nehar Peko, but there was no water. No water. But that is water. Everybody knows there's water in that the river over there. Therefore, you don't have a simara of Mali Leshakir. Comes the Gemara and says, Im yesh aydim afidu aved afidu shifha ne'emanim. We said that when it comes to the case of a person testifying that what, that the lady was not violated by the soldiers, you believe even an Eved, even a Shifha, right? Even witnesses that normally are Pesulim, you believe them. So Gemara says, Ba'afilu Shifha Dida Mehemna. From the Mishnah, they didn't make a Hiduk. It says a Shifha. It's mashmah. Even the lady's own Shifha, maidservant, is Ne'emenet. So the Gemara says, Urmini, what do you mean we have a contradiction? What's the case of it? We have a case of Masikat Gittin. The case of Masikat Gittin is as follows. You have a man that's on his deathbed. It's called a Shechiv Berah. What happened? He doesn't want his wife to now have to go make Halitza in the event that he dies. Let's say they have no children. Now already she has a Yibum situation. She has a Halitza. He doesn't want his wife to do that. So why? He wants to give her a divorce. So what does he do? He writes the divorce up and he says, 1 second before I die, this divorce is going to be Hal. Okay, but the law is like this. Once you write a get like that, the law is, since it's not hal yet, the husband and the wife are not allowed to be secluded with each other. Because if they're secluded with each other, you have to assume that maybe they had a bi'ah, and therefore, what are we concerned about? We're concerned about, since this get is dated, let's say, for an earlier date. It's dated when they wrote it. Therefore, they're going to have a child, and now people are going to see the get that kicked in later, but they're going to think that the get was actually executed earlier, and they're going to think this child now is Basul. So therefore, the deen is, once there was seclusion, the get becomes invalid. You got to write a new get up. So therefore, the deen is, as we say in the Mishnah, Urmini lo tityahed emmo el api adim. Once already he writes this get up, you're not allowed to be secluded unless there's witnesses. But if there's witnesses, the witnesses will make sure that nothing took place. Now, if there were no witnesses, that get, incidentally, is called a get yashan. Get yashan is a get that was written, and then Yehud took place after without witnesses, therefore the get is invalid. So the Mishnah, they said over there, Va'afidu al-pi ayyabin va'al-pi shifha, which is even quasi-witnesses, that normally are not kasher, you could have even an ayyabin or a shifha, what, that could testify, I saw them secluded, but nothing happened. Chutz mishifhata. Oh, except for her shifha. Why? Mipenesh shliba gas mishifhata. Because she's very comfortable with her shifha. And therefore we're concerned that what? She's not embarrassed to have a bi'ah with her husband in front of the shifha. And the concern is that what? The shifha will cover up for her. So therefore, you see what? When it comes to shifha, since we have a set of gasba, meaning they're comfortable with each other, they're used to each other. So therefore, the same way in the case of gittin, that you don't let the shifha be one of the witnesses, because we're going to say what? We're going to say that she's going to cover up. So how do you let Shifhata testify that she wasn't violated? She'll cover up as well. Right? Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rapape. So the Pape says, Bishvuya ikidu. First answer, you're right. But by Shivuya, since the whole thing is a Humrah, we don't know if she's violated in the first place. So we'll be lenient to rely even on Shifhata. So again, the Pape holds Shifhata is okay. Second answer, Rapapa Amar. Ha b'shifcha dida, ha b'shifcha dide. Now, Papa makes a difference between shifahot. One's talking about his shifcha, one's talking about her shifcha. Lashi. No, Lashi. What's the case over here talking about? Which means, when it comes to his shifcha, then I'll believe that what, to say that she wasn't violated by these soldiers. When it says, it's not her. Her shifcha is not believed. And when we say Masikat Gittin, the husband's shifcha is believed, the gabir violation, which means that nothing happened with the soldiers. But she ain't getting, in the case of Gittin, that we said that the shifcha is not believed, that's talking about her shifcha. Because when it comes to her shifcha, there's gasba, she'll lie. And therefore, could be they had their relations, and therefore the get is now a get yashan. In the case of our Mishnah, they're talking about, you believe it's talking about Shifhat Dide. So it comes to Gemara and says, Shifhat Dida Lo Mehemna? What are you talking about? You tell me that her Shifhat is not going to be believed? Ha Ketani En Adam Me'id Al Atzmo. We have a rule. Our Mishnah said, a person cannot testify for themselves. Implying what? Ha Shifhat Dida Mehemna. Everybody else in the world can't testify, including even her Shifhat. So the Gemara says, Shifchata nameh ke'atzma dameh. You know what? Shifchata is like herself. When the statement said, a person cannot testify for themselves, it means they can't testify or somebody that's like themselves. Who's like themselves? A Shifcha. Shifcha dida. They're Shifcha. So they were according to the Papa, Shifcha dida is no good. Third answer, Namashe Amar, Aviha, b'Shifcha dida. Both Masichet Ketubot. And Masichet Gittin is talking about Shifhat Dida, her own Shifha. V'Shifha Mi'aza Chazya V'Shatka, which means like this. The Gemara is going to go with the psychology of a Shifhat Dida, her own Shifha. She's not willing to incriminate her mistress, but at the same time, she's not going to blatantly lie either to protect her. Go with that psychology. So now what? She's going to see something that happened, she'll keep quiet. So the Gemara now explains. Hatam, in the case of Git, right? She comes along and she testifies what? I was there when they made Yehud. That's all she has to say. She doesn't say anything else. So her silence, Dishtikatam Matirata. If she just keeps quiet, it'll save her because she's just saying, I was a witness. Oh, once you were a witness for the Yehud, that's good. Now the Git is valid. Now we're not going to believe her because she'll lie. Because if all she has to do is be quiet and not expressly lie, she'll just be quiet and say, even though I saw a biatic place, I don't have to say it explicitly. So therefore, she'll keep quiet and therefore she'll know that her silence will matir them. Therefore, in that case, we say what? Not ne'eman. Not ne'eman it. However, in this case over here, the assumption is what? When the soldiers come into the town, the lady is forbidden. And therefore, when this shifcha is going to keep quiet, adraba, her silence makes the mistress, her mistress, forbidden. Because the assumption is what? She's violated. Therefore, mehemna. She's believed. You know why? Because when she comes along and says nothing happened, she's not going to expressly say a lie. When she comes along and says nothing happened, you have to assume that what she's telling thee, truth. So then, according to Rav Asher, Shifhat Dida is indeed believed. Because she won't verbally say a lie. Again, you want to hear the Sivana? The Gemara is going to say that in a second. In the case of the Git, all the lady does is she has to keep quiet, the Shifha. By keeping quiet, what happens?
She has to not lie.
Just by keeping quiet, automatically we're going to say, Mutir it. The Git is okay. Because she's coming along and saying, listen, I was there as a witness for the Yehud. Okay, that's what she has to say. She's not going to say anything else. Oh, you're a witness? So therefore, I'll say what? She's lying. Because since all she has to do is keep quiet, she'd be willing to do that. Meanwhile, there was a bi'al with it. But she's keeping quiet, so therefore she's lying because she don't want to incriminate. And she doesn't got to say it. Not believe it. Mashe'enken in the case of the soldiers that came and violated the ladies, there if she keeps quiet, not enough. She keeps quiet, her mistress is going to be forbidden because we assume that she was violated. The only way she can save her mistress is why she has to open her mouth. She says, listen, I saw nothing happen. Now we're assuming a Shifha is not going to go that far to expressively say a lie. Therefore, she's going to be in a minute. So it comes out like this. According to Rav Asher and Rav Papi, both of them hold a Shifha Dida is ne'eminet, where Rav Papa holds Shifcha Dida is not the imminent. No, comes the Gemara and says, Hashta name atya shakira. The Gemara says, maybe she'll lie. Which means, why are you giving the Shifcha so much credibility? Maybe, even in the case of the Kohen, she'll come along and lie and say, nothing happened, even though something did happen. Which is, who said that she won't expressly say a lie? So the Gemara says, Tarti lo avda. Listen, she's not going to do two sins. Which means, it's enough that she's not coming forward to say that something happened. But she's not going to come along and now say the opposite. which means if let's say something happened, from not coming forward, that's already one avon. Not to come forward to say something happened, but to come forward and say the opposite, talti lo avda. She's not going to do that, and therefore she has a ne'manut. Comes Gemara and says, "Kiha de Mori bar Isaac," like the story of Mori bar Isaac. The Amri la Hana bar Isaac. Some say the story of Hana bar Isaac. Ata la acha bebechozaa. A brother of Mori surfaced from Bechozaa. He didn't see this brother for many years. It seems that Mori bar Isaac's father had a child in Hozaa, and all of a sudden now this guy surfaces and says, "I'm your brother." Why is he saying he's his brother? He wants Yerusha. He wants a piece of the estate. Amare plogli b'nechsed abba. Listen, I want half of our father's estate, Yerusha. Amare lo yada'na lach. He says, "I don't know who you are." Atal kemed Rav Chisda. So he came in front of Rav Chisda. Amare shapir ka'amar lach. Which means, he told you good. That what? That he doesn't know who you are. Why? Dichtiv, vayaker Yosef et Ehav. It says Yosef recognized the brothers. The story of Yosef and the brothers. Vehem lo hekidu, but they did not recognize him. Why didn't they recognize him? Melamed shiyatza belo hatimat zakan. Because when he left, he was 17 years old. He had no beard. Ubab hatimat zakan. Now he came with a beard. So therefore, there was no way for them to recognize him. He looked differently. So therefore, the same thing over here. This guy was far away. Now all of a sudden he surfaces. He said, "I'm your brother." "I don't know who you are." He has a beard now. He didn't see him in many years. So he told us, he's right. I didn't expect him to know who you are. So he tells him, "Amma lezil ayti sadeh." You want to prove that you're his brother? You can't have claims against Mori. He doesn't know who you are because you have a beard. Therefore, no question against him. You want to prove yourself to his brother? Bring witnesses and prove it legally. Amale eat these sad days. I have witnesses. Problem is, umistafinu mine. They're scared of my brother Mori. Why? The gabra allamahava. He's a bully. And therefore, we're scared if we're going to give the testimony, who knows what he's going to do to them. Amale. So now, Rav Chisda gets the case. He goes to Mori and says, Ledine, he tells Mori, zil aitinu at, de lav ahuchahu. Go, you bring witnesses that he's not your brother. So comes the Gemara and says, "Amale dinache." So Mori says, "What do you mean, Rabbi? Is that the law?" Which means he's trying to take money out of me. He got to bring the witnesses. I don't have to bring the witnesses. So he says, "Amale achi daanina lach ulchuliu alame havrach." Yeah, that's the law for all people like you that are bullies. Which is when it comes to cases like this, that's the law. You got to bring the testimony. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean?" What do you mean, sir? This guy, he'll bring witnesses. They'll lie. They'll come along and say he's not his brother. So the Gemara says, "Tarte lo avde." Same sivra nora. Witnesses, they're not going to make two sins, which means it's one sin knowing that it's the brother and not to testify. But to come along and testify the opposite, that's already a second sin. That much you're not going to do. So the same Sevara we say by the Shefha. It's one thing what that they won't come forward. But to come forward and say the opposite, that much you're not going to do. Comes the Gemara and says, Lema ketanae. So comes that we have a machloket over here amongst the rabbis. We actually have Rav Pepe and Rav Ashe that want to say a Shefha is ne'emenet. Shefha didah is ne'emenet. And you have Rav Pepe that wants to say Shefha didah is not ne'emenet. So we want to say that machloket Amoraim is actually a machloket amongst the Tanaim. How? Zu edut, which is this testimony, testifying that a lady was not violated when she was taken into captivity. You believe anybody. Ish ve'isha, you believe a husband and a wife, even though normally a husband and a wife cannot be witnesses. Tinok ve'tinoket, you can even believe children. Abia ve'iba, the mother and the father of the lady herself, even though normally they cannot testify because they're relatives. Ve'ahoya ve'achota, her brother or sister. Aval lo bena ubita, but we don't believe her children, I guess, because they're considered more nogim over here. Lo avda v'shifhata. Nor do you believe what? Her shifha. So according to this bright, you see clearly what? Shifha is not ne'emenet. V'tanya idak, we have another bright that says, hako ne'emanim la'aid chutz mehemena, except for herself. Uba'ala, and her husband. So you see, according to the second, everybody believes even Shifhat Nida. So we have two Braitot. One says Shifhat Nida Ne'emenet. That's Braita number two. And Braita number one says Shifhat Nida not Ne'emenet. So we have a Machloket amongst the Tanaim. So the Gemara analyzes. You have to say it's a Machloket Tanaim. They'll go like the Braita that says Ne'emenet. And the other Braita that says not Ne'emenet, they don't go like. So according to them, you have no choice to explain that what? It is indeed a Machloket Tanaim. However, did a papa milem a Tanaim? According to the papa says Shifha is not Ne'emenet. Maybe there's a way to say it's not a Machloket Tanaim, which means Vadai, Braita number one is going like the papa. But maybe we can answer Braita number two, that's Mashma, the only one that's not Ne'emenet is Har. Maybe there's a way we can answer according to the papa to make it that it's not going to be a machloket amongst the tanaim, which means we want to make the papa according to everybody. So the Gemara says we can. Amalekara papa kitanya, which means like this. Maybe I can answer the second braita like this. She is like Shifhat Nida. Didn't we say that? Just like she's not ne'emenet, Shifhat Nida is like her. So therefore, the papa, I can agree with that braita. When the braita said he in a ne'emenet. He in a minute, Timor Shifhata in a minute. So therefore, he can agree with both Braitot. So the Gemara says, yes, indeed. There's a way for the Papa to go with both Braitot. Well, Braitot number one, for sure he can go like, because Braitot number one says, Shifhati da in a minute. How is he going to go with Braitot number two? So Gemara says, Amal Khan Papa Kitanya ibn Masih alafituma. You know what the case is talking about? When is Shifhati da in a minute? When she just says it nonchalantly. When she doesn't give a testimony, when she just is talking, and it comes out. Like the story of Rav Dimi. He came from Bavel, he came from Eretz Israel to Bavel. Amar Rav Hanan Kartigana'a. He said that there was a rabbi called Rav Hanan Kartigana'a, Mishta'e. He was telling the following story. Ma'aseh ba'alifnei Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, about a story that came in front of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. The Amri, some say the opposite. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi mishta'e. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was telling a story. Ma'aseh ba'alifnei Rabbi. The story came in front of Adi. Ba'adam ya'ad she'a Messiah l'fitumo. The guy was talking l'fitumo. Ve'amar ani ve'imi nishbinu l'den ovdei kochavim. Me and my mother were taken into captivity by the goyim. Yatzati l'shov ma'im. I went out to get water. Da'ati al'imi. I didn't take my mind off my mother, meaning I still was protecting my mother to make sure that she was not violated. L'lakot etzim, I went to collect some wood, da'ati al-immi. But what? I was still protecting my mother to make sure she was not violated. And therefore, but he wasn't saying it as a testimony, he was just talking about a story that happened. V'si'ua Rabbi l'keuna al-piv. Rabbi allowed this lady to marry into the keuna. Which means, why?
Casually.
Because since he was casually giving his testimony, he was saying, listen, I was watching my mother. Nothing happened over here. And therefore, what do you see? You see that when you Masih al-Fitumo, you have a Ne'emanut. Oh, so the same thing over here we want to say by the case of the Shifha. When Shifha Dida just comes along and says, listen, whatever, nothing happened to her and all that, then already, even according to the Papa, will believe her. I want to point out like this, even though we learned above, and a braita that a son is not ne'eman to testify on the mother. So why do we believe the son over here to testify? Because it was Masiach lefi tumo. That's the point. So just like a son that's usually not ne'eman is believed lefi tumo, so to a shifha, shifha dida, according to the papa that's normally not ne'eman it, because she's close to him and she'll lie, she's close to her, but in the case of Masiach lefi tumo, is indeed ne'eman. Amen v'amen.